as I understand it, John Fulton, who, you know, was well known as a professor at Yale, had a lot of connections with the British group, and he arranged to have a test amount of penicillin. See, my story isn't quite right, but he made these arrangements, but what happened, it wasn't sent over from Britain, but they did arrange, presumably with Merck, to make a very small amount, and the title is extremely low then. Now, this, it was sent up to us in New Haven, and I gave it to this case of a woman who had had a pelvic inflammatory disease and had been running a fever for 4 months, and it was absolutely miraculous.
Mm.
And then the second case was a man with a, if I recall, it was a brain abscess, and he did very well. And the third case was very sad because it was a nice young fellow with some endocarditis. And his fever went down, he did beautifully, and we ran out of the penicillin, and then he died.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the story is sort of from an anecdotal point of view, sort of quite amusing and interesting. 95% of the penicillin is excreted in the urine. So we saved the urine and sent it back to Merck to be re-extracted. It was mm-hmm. so precious. Now, years later, I found out the following connection. We had a seminar, I'm going to go into that later, at the Institute every lunch, and Gil Ashwell, who is quite well known in biochemical circles and was head of the laboratory that we had the seminar with, ran into me in the supermarket, and he had just come back from a celebration and on penicillin in London or in England. And it turned out that before he went to medical school, he was a technician at Merck. And he had used a relatively new technique of lyophilization to prepare the penicillin that was sent up to New Haven for me to inject. And when I sent the urine back, he re-extracted it. And we learned 15 or 20 years later of this interaction. Anyway, it's a sort of quite an amusing story.
It's fascinating.
But it was a cramp in my neck, excuse me. Anyway, so this was it was a very traumatic thing, and the amount of penicillin was absolutely trivial compared to what you can buy for probably 10 cents now or something. It was very dramatic. Development. So, anyway, do you want to have some? Let me see if.
All right, it's up to you.
Yes, if we'll bring it in here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. People who are unique, but most of us sort of, we hate to admit it, but represent the type and reflect our environment. And I guess whatever I'm saying holds for a lot of other people that you don't. I mean, there are some people who are unique, but most are not. I guess it will hold for other people too, don't you think? I mean,
well, that's true, but it's. I've always been amazed at the interactions, at the networks that exist of people. You mentioned Kornberg, who you. He was with you at least in the same class at City, then you crossed paths with him again, and many times these things don't come out unless, you know, it's not obvious in reading the literature that all of those connections exist.
So let's see, so how long have you been doing this now then?
Well, I started doing this about 1985.
I see, so you had quite a while. So you've had no personal whatever you mean by historical training, except by doing this, yeah.
I had no direct no direct training, although I've been doing work in the history of chemistry since about 1980.
I see, yeah.
And,
but of course you've been at meetings, and so you interact, so you...
Yes.
Because one reason why I... this is not...
I leave it on so
okay,
I don't miss anything, but I'll cut out.
Yeah, but this is not anything really relevant. You know Stedman's book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was quite critical, I think I may have mentioned on the phone to you, I was quite critical of that, even including my chapter. The reason is I have the feeling that a historian will know the right questions to ask, will make something out of it. And I think most of those chapters are too specialized in terms of what the people themselves have been doing or what have you. But one of our friends, I don't know if you know Howard Schachman.
I know the name.
Who, by the way, would be very good to talk to, made the point that there's so little background that's available that even if a book or chapters are not that good, a good historian can go from there and make something out of it.
Yes. Yeah, every bit of information can be very valuable.
Now, these biographies, these autobiographies, except for your editing and so forth, you people don't make any more out of it, but they use them as source material for other people. Is that
right.
It?
We will.
As such, I don't think they're necessarily that valuable. What I was thinking of.
We will ask you to, in fact, I forgot to bring along a release form, but you will have, that's the preliminary release form, and then you will have a final form in which you can indicate who has access, whether it's open access. You have the control to the document. The final document will be indexed, which will facilitate people using it. And we're in the process of preparing a catalog.
I see, yeah. See, frankly, from that point of view, and I haven't formulated it, what I feel, what I think would be nice, what I've said would be nice before I was involved, I don't agree with when I'm involved for the following reason. My original idea was, well, why don't they put these on CD-ROM and then people all over can get them. My objection to that, really, very frankly now, is that I think if you want source material, that kind of distribution would repress people in what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somewhere in between probably would be what I would vote for. In other words, anyone who really wants to see it, my feeling would be, should be, could see it, but on the other hand, I would hate to think that, say, that this be put out, say, as a supplement to the JBC.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure you follow my...
Right. One of the categories that you will see on that release form is that anyone can look at it, but your permission is needed to quote or cite from it. That's one possibility. Or that may be that no one can look at it unless you agree to it. That's another possibility.
Well, my own feeling is I would have no objection to people who really, I mean, I'm just thinking out loud now, to people who really want it to look at it, but I would sort of hate to have it come in the mail to everybody, which was my original idea, that because the, as a compliment to you, the little bit we saw Holland Woods, my feeling was that this was so interesting that it would be nice to have it really free of, you know, freely available for everybody.
Did you see Harlan Wood?
Well, but it was only passed around at the council meeting, you see. So we all read it and read, say, parts and looked particularly interesting to us, but it obviously was very, well, you know, it's a compliment to you. On the other hand, I think you'd have to be, it's also, might be hard to ruin what he did. I mean, it was...
Well, yes, because with so many of the people I've interviewed, you know, I have my notes and I have questions, but it's the person who's responding that's doing, you know, making the document. And I just try to keep things moving in a particular way.
But I think to a certain extent, though, from what I'm saying are stereotypes and types, I think the relatively prosaic background that I've had that we've been talking about this morning is typical of, is perhaps more typical than, well, than many, you see, and more typical by being by being sort of relatively prosaic.
It is and it isn't. I think that you, again, as I said earlier, you have a very unique, a unique path you've traveled, and even if I were to agree with you that it is typical, there aren't many of those that are going to be preserved in some fashion. And
I think it's rather interesting how different people react. Are you familiar with the yearbooks that places like Harvard put out?
No, I saw one on your shelf up there, but I didn't.
Yeah, well, it's typical of what you would expect of me versus other people. Let's see if there's anyone in here in science that would be... incidentally, here's an interesting thing that's not at all relevant to what we're talking about, but we're one of the alls in that. It turns out that this is a federal reservation.
Oh.
And when my son, and we voted for years, when our son went to register, they wouldn't let him register because they said he wasn't in the state of Maryland, you see. Well, and we sort of precipitated this by saying, well, we've been voting, how come he can't? And so they took they canceled all our voter registrations. And so somebody, Tilly Coleman is a physiotherapist, who an MD, who in a wheelchair, she was shot actually by a patient, I think, at years ago at NYU. And she was used to getting things done. And she called up one of the prominent law firms in town, and it went to the Supreme Court, who said that you can't, that things are different than when the Maryland law was passed in 1865 or thereabouts, that you can't take away your voting rights for relatively trivial reasons. But it's a rather interesting thing, you see.
That's amazing.
Because we're not really, and this is a federal, but you see, I'm trying to think of, mine is very negative, but...
Shall I interrupt you and bring in something?
Yeah, thank you.
I think you could use some more small tables.
Okay, why don't I, yeah. Why don't I
put... You discussed the problem with the computers.
Oh, yeah, we're not going in there because I just got a new computer for the journal.
There's no place to put everything.
And, so why don't I, maybe it'd be easier for you. So we have our, the dining room is all cluttered. I'm setting it up. Actually, I've been, again, we can talk about that later. I've got my journal work.
I won't join you, Herb.
Oh, yeah, because we'll keep
But you might want to sit on here.
Okay.
Yeah. What I'll do is, excuse me, I have to move you a little.
Well, I was talking about the Supreme Court case, too.
Yeah. A glass and a plate on each one of these, and then I'll have the rest of the stuff I can bring out, put over here. You can use the trays as a source for a salt and pepper, etc. Thank you for
that. Well, actually, mine doesn't contribute anything to this, as I would say, but from the point of view of just knowing this kind of thing, I think for any of the people who graduated from Harvard, you have a cover. This kind of a book, some of the people really write quite lengthy evaluations of what they've done. I think could be quite a...
Yes, I wasn't aware of this. Okay. How often do they put these out?
Well, it's about every big reunion.
May I just ask another question? Yeah. Would you like tea or coffee with your, or anything else, Coke with your lunch?
I think
lunch?
Tea. Yeah. Thank you, Sal. But some of them are quite...
Would it be possible for you to send me a photocopy of this?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's one actually. I have one on the, that's the 25th. I'd be interested to see myself how I revise it, because here's the 50th.
Okay.
And but the other people here really do very well.
That's
right. But I find them, apropos of what I was saying about, I find it very, very, very difficult to write anything frank and open on. In something like this.
Photocopies of those would be great.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. Whatever.
I'm glad to know about that for future reference, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they come, well, the big ones are the 25th and 50th, but I notice here I have a 40th, a 35th, a 30th.
Must be every 5 years.
Or something like that. Mm-hmm. We have one from the medical school, too. But I don't know if I even have this. Yeah, there's one here, but that they were much less... the people there are much less talkative. Yeah. And maybe they asked for less. Yeah. But anyway, I just mentioned that for where it's relevant, that could be 55th gets small, I'm afraid. By that time, most people are either, you know, retired or... I'm trying to think, there's nobody... Yeah, there were actually the person, there would be someone in here, you know, whom I didn't know at college, actually. And that's, I don't know if he wrote anything, his name is certainly known in history of sciences, I. Bernard Cohn.
Oh, yes, yes.
How about Saul Cohn? You don't know him, do you?
The chemist?
Yeah.
Yes,
he's
right.
In here, yeah. He's a classmate.
Oh, sure.
He
was at Brandeis.
Yeah.
Right, sure. I know him.
He's actually an old friend of ours.
I don't think I've met him, but I know the name very well, the work he did.
I think in the others, let's see, Ivor Knock, let's see, I leave the book over there. Yeah, he probably wrote more. Well, as I say, it's too bad we can't walk around.
Yes. Well, I have batteries for the tape recorder, but...
Yeah. Yeah, you'd sort of be interested in... Well, you wrote it the 25th, at least. Well, it's a little chilly, otherwise I'd say we should go out, but... But he certainly made a big field.
It's interesting if you look at the... He talks about his professional things, and then he says that he remains a photography addict, an amateur on the accordion, and a novice at figure skating and skiing.
Oh, isn't that amusing?
So,
yeah.
Well, that's interesting, and I'm certainly glad
I think
to
these
know
are
that
probably useful
very, very
idea,
useful. Yes,
because for where you well, let me come over
here.
Why don't we put it in here? Well, I guess that was a good psychological point to break, because it's now we're getting into NIH and biochemistry.
I'm just going to leave this run.
Okay.
The reason being that sometimes things come up that would be useful.
Yeah.
That I would have lost them. Yeah. So.
I think I'll close that window. It's cool. So you want to be sure that this is okay for you, otherwise she has some sliced meat.
This is fine. This is fine. Yes, this is.
Well, this would be more efficient than going out because this certainly saves some time.
Well, as I said earlier, depending on what your time frame is today,
we're
easy enough drive for me to come back if I need to. So.
The only thing that worries me is not that so much as the. I just hope that we don't, by digressing so much in the early period, that we don't neglect the part that I'm really supposed to be talking about.
No, as I said earlier, I think the earlier part is equally as important. And we try to do that. We try to capture that early period in a person's life.
Well. The one thing I don't think I really covered adequately, because I really, it's been so far back and don't know enough of the background, really, in thinking. And that is the influence of I think even more interesting, not from a biochemistry point of view, but from a social point of view, is, you know, the influence of one's particular society and environment, the times, the economics of the times, that after all are quite unique on what one does. I think to get at that would require both a lot of thinking, more background, and perhaps a very forced and penetrating questions that I wouldn't even know how to either ask or answer at this point. But and much, I mean, one would really want to, you know, the whole historic background of the times. I mean, what motivates people?
That was partly one of the reasons I asked whether your parents were immigrants or not, because that sometimes first generation children sometimes have family pressures too. I'm not saying just support, but sometimes pressures to succeed.
Yeah, well, I think from that point of view, which perhaps is what I'm really saying, is the semantics of first generation versus second generation is not necessarily as critical as whether you're in a group that is first generation or second generation. I mean, in other words, the answer to what you're saying, I think, is really the same regardless of the actual details, that obviously the community I was in reflected that, you see, regardless of whether my father was 3 years old or was born here, I don't think really makes that much difference. and whether this, even if it doesn't affect you in an obvious way, whether there's a depression or whether you're in a period of prosperity all the time and how you respond to it. And what influence, after all, we haven't alluded to it because one doesn't know what affects an individual. But certainly, you're talking about Conrad Bloch in this period. Yeah. Well, obviously, we were the whole community was, scientific community, and all people were terribly affected by all the stories of the people from abroad and the people coming over. To a certain extent, I have the feeling that, just chatting. And I don't think I could have done better. But I'm a little concerned that what I was discussing had the same disadvantage I'm saying about the book on NIH, that it's really quite. Superficial. Thank you, Sam.
Would you like the tea now? After a little bit?
That's fine.
Oh, we're here, I think, now.
I have to pour it just a moment. I'll put this down here for the plate to put your tea bag on and plate for cake.
I had occasion recently to.
You want to take your coat off, or are you comfortable?
No, I'm fine. I have to change again, but take off.
Well, I went to get my passport.